Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The title of this message is Freedom in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, we're grateful this morning to be free in our nation. We're so grateful that we can get in our cars and we can drive across country without having to present any kind of special papers giving us liberty or freedom to do so. We're thankful that we still live in a country where there is still a measure of morality and of righteousness. We're thankful that we live in a country where there are people, great men and women, not just in uniform, but in dress clothes, going to the Capitol, those who still believe the Bible and believe the Constitution and who desire to save America and the things, the principles that's made this country great. We're thankful, dear God, that you've given us the Word of God as a English people. What a joy it is to have the Bible, the Word of God, and that we're not in some country in the dark jungles of New Guinea or perhaps the dark jungles of Africa or in the outback of Australia and without the Scriptures. You've blessed us greatly. This country's been blessed. You've given us much, and to whom much is given, much is required. God, help us. Help us to be the country that we should be. We pray for our leaders, the leaders in our government, the leaders in our states, the leaders that are in our churches in the pulpits. And I pray that you'll use this day to kindle the fires of freedom, but not just in a land that we live, but oh Jesus, thank you for setting us free. Free from home, from sin, the bondage of sin, the punishment of sin, the results of sin. And I pray that you'll work in our hearts today. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you. We have the words in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How true that statement certainly is. Thank God for freedom. Amen. Grateful to be in a country where we're free. Some of us who have had the privilege to travel abroad, we know what it's like to be in a country that is not like America, a country that is oppressed with communism or oppressed in such a harsh way that we can't even think the way the other countries operate. You wouldn't even have a clue of how it is in some of these countries. We know about the tyranny of communism. We know that. But just little things that we take for granted every day, just to get in our cars and drive across town, not possible in many countries. And if you're in a part of town you shouldn't be in, there's going to be great recompense for that. But thank God for America. Thank God. And God bless America again. Thank God for freedom. Freedom isn't free. You understand we have people, man, male and female, in uniforms around this country fighting today. Now, we may not know about it, but the fight's going on. They are spilling blood and they are shedding blood so that we can assemble here together in freedom today. They are over in places that we know nothing about right now, but they're fighting tyranny. They're fighting the evils of this day, if you would, so that we might have the freedom that we have. Thank God for that, because freedom isn't free. Our young people, military, law enforcement, and first responders, they respond and they give their lives so that we might have this freedom. We celebrate freedom in America. We call it Independence Day. I like that, don't you? We became independent of England. Now, I have to be careful because we have some dear people in our church from England now. I used to have a lot of fun saying some things, but I'm not going to say that because I wouldn't hurt anyone's feelings. I didn't mind Rachel too much, but Miss Jackie's just too sweet, you know. Rachel could kind of get over it, but I used to say things like, you know, we could have won the war if it just rained because most English would have drowned their noses so high. But I'm not going to say those things this time. I don't want to say anything that would be misunderstood or be offensive. Wouldn't want to do that. But a lot of Americans today, they don't know the difference between the Revolutionary War and the War of the States. You know what I'm talking about. The War to Stop Yankee Arrogance is what it, is what it's called. And if, now I've completely offended everybody, so I'm sorry. Many people, they don't know the difference between the Civil War. Jason, come back, okay? All right. Chicago. The South shall rise again. I had to say that for my rebel friends. And we won. But I'll tell you one thing, we're under one flag today. Thank God for it. And we celebrate Independence Day. George, King George, had determined to still control. You got to understand, England, they controlled many places in the world, all around the world. But there's a thing that came up, something along the lines of no taxation without representation. And then we took their most valuable commodity, which is tea, and poured it into the Boston Bay, wasn't it? Where we did? Harbor, yeah, thank you. Sitting on the dock of the bay is what you were thinking of. And and we had that great war. And America won her independence. Now, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America says this: I, Congress, shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. And we all know that the Second Amendment ensures the First Amendment. Now, that's for all my NRA friends there. So we're hitting every group here today, right? But there's four great freedoms that's noted in that amendment. Let me tell you what they are. The freedom of worship. Don't take that for granted today. We may not always have it. The freedom of speech. Now, we have to be careful what we speak. There are things that are liable. But we can stand today in this country. We can speak our peace. We can speak our mind. The freedom of the press to print. To be able to not worry about the tyranny of evil man to come in and to kill us and to burn our homes or burn our businesses down because of something we printed. And the freedom to assemble. Well, I think of people for many years in China and also in the Soviet bloc countries that would go out and meet underneath a tree and sing hymns and cry out to God. Can you imagine that? We get to come into such a beautiful facility. We get to drive here. We get to chat with a lightness in our heart and the joy of the Lord in our heart. We get to leave with the joy of the Lord in our heart without going to a meeting for fear that we'll be locked up and never see each other ever again. Don't take these things for granted. I'm thankful that we have freedom to gather together and we have freedom to worship the Lord. But even more so, Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There are some additional freedoms for those of us who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ that we enjoy. Let me give you just three. There's many of them, but let me just share three. Number one, we can enjoy the freedom from the lies of the devil. We have the truth. The devil still spins his yarns and tells his lies, but we have the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there's two forces at work in our world today. You might think there's more, but there's just two. Let me tell you what they are. There's the truth. It represents Jesus Christ. You know, there's no guile in him. There's no fault in him. There's no error in him. He is all truth. Amen? He is altogether righteous. The Bible says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. there's two forces. There's the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's the lie, which is the devil or Satan or Lucifer. In John 8, verse 44, the Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's only two forces. There's the truth, which is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then there is Satan, the devil. He is the liar who speaketh not the truth. And when we receive the Son of God as revealed to us through the Word of God, then you can know the truth. Man, I tell you what, there's a lot of people groping out there, blinded by the god of this world, who don't know the truth. They're thinking that this substance is going to bring them the satisfaction they're looking for. They're thinking that riotous living, whether it's drugs or alcohol, whether it's women, whatever it might be, whether it's fame and fortune, whether it's money, whatever it might be, this is what's missing in their life. If they can just attain this, if they can just go up that corporate ladder and get that next degree or that next position, that's going to bring, let me tell you something, all that is a lie from the devil. There are people today who have some menial job, go to a factory and just pull a lever for 8 hours, or drive a truck for 8 hours, or some job that's difficult, and maybe not much more than just a couple of quarters to rub together, but they're happy in the Lord because they know the Lord, and the Lord has set them free. Amen? You see, without Christ in our lives, we remained in bondage to Satan, who is the father of all lies. He's the father of all lies. He lies to us. We see his lying in the garden. He told Eve. He says, that's not what God said. God didn't say that. God knows that if you take of this fruit, then you'll be a God yourself. You'll be just like he is. He lied to her. He beguiled her. The knowledge of the truth protects us from error. When we have the truth, we spot error immediately, don't we? A counterfeit bill can be passed about. But there are people who deal with money every day, whether they're a bank teller or whatever they may be, and they don't bring out 16 different kinds or 60 different types of counterfeit money for them to come very associated with and knowledgeable about. You know what they do? They give them the real thing. They give them the real stuff. I think Debbie might be in the nursery. I'm not sure where she's at. But she tries to do this stuff with me, but she can't pass it. I got the real thing, man. I understand this. She's not here, so she can't hear what I'm telling. I'm just going to tell you our marital issues this morning. But she'll try to pinch some pennies, and she'll bring some unlabeled thing in the house and bring it to me. And I'll take a drink of it, and I say, what is this? Do I get an amen? Yeah. What is this? She says, well, it's coffee. No, it's not coffee. This is something else. No, well, it's this or that or whatever. No, that's not what it is. What's wrong with this? What is? And she'll burst out laughing, saying, how can you tell? Because I know the real thing. That's how I can tell. My father, he was so funny. He loved cornflakes, and I tell you, I have turned into my dad. I have. I'll eat cornflakes now. And you know, Debbie wants peanut butter Captain Crunch. I don't want that stuff in the house. I want cornflakes. And my sister would bring generic cornflakes into the house. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? And my dad, he says, and don't bring those generic cornflakes back. They get slick when you put milk on them. He knew. He knew. She would try to save money or eat more healthy by getting turkey sausage. And my dad was blind. He didn't see this, but he'd take a bite. He says, no, this is not right. What is this? It's sausage. No, it's not. This is not sausage. It's turkey sausage. That don't make sense. You know, sausage comes from a pig, you know. And there's the counterfeits. My kids are laughing. They know I'm telling the truth. And there's counterfeits. And the devil will try to pass over that counterfeit. But when we know the truth, when we have the truth, we are able to quickly identify this is wrong, this is false. And we're not deceived because the truth sets us free. We have the freedom from Satan's lies. There's so many people today who are entrapped in the webs of his lies. Isn't that so? You see young people today and young couples, they live in their life. And they're living in such a riotous way, feeling like they have grace to do so, or feeling like they have time to do so. They have some excuse. They can give you 17 different reasons why they can do what they're doing when they shouldn't be doing, when they ought to be doing what the Bible says. When they're disobedient to mother and to dad, when they're dishonoring to their parents, but yet they can give you a reason why they're the exception to what the Bible says there. You know what they are? They are deceived by the deception of the devil, by the lies of the devil. We have the freedom in our country to live the way we live, but we have freedom in Christ, freedom from the lies of Satan. But let me say that we have the freedom from the power of sin because of Christ. Boy, hasn't sin done a number on us? We should hate sin because the Bible tells us to hate it, to hate iniquity. He says, because you have hated iniquity and loved righteousness, I'll pour out the oil of gladness upon you above thy fellows in Hebrews 1:9. We should hate sin because of what it does to us. We should hate sin for what it did to Christ. We should hate sin for what it does to the church. But when we got saved, we got freedom from the power of sin. Now, this doesn't mean that we never sin, because we have the sin nature still within us. We have a new nature that battles, amen? But it does mean that we do not have to be held captive by sin any longer. We have freedom. We are free from the guilt of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are free from the consequences of sin. That lie you told, that thing you sold, that evil thought you thought, that murder that you had in your heart, whatever sin it might be, whatever you've done, no matter how bad it is, no matter how terrible, how heinous it is, no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've been involved in, listen, you get it covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's no condemnation to us. Thankful for that. We're free from the power of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the consequences of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Wow. I want to tell you something. If that don't make you get up and skip, I don't know what will. Who's going to lay anything at our feet? Because we are the born again, the elect of God. It is God that justifieth. If God says you're justified, who is anyone else to say different? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have freedom from the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the consequences of sin. We are free from the power or the control of sin in our life. Romans chapter 6 is just one place where it shares this truth in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Thank God, sin has no more power over us. You know why a man drinks alcohol? I'll tell you why. He likes it. But God can break that bondage in his life. And whatever bondage it might be, no matter what it might be, whether it's lust, whether it's alcohol, whatever it could be. It doesn't matter what it is. Listen to me. Whatever it is, God can break that bondage. We have freedom from the power of sin. Lastly, let me suggest to you that we have the freedom from the second death. Not physical death necessarily. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Someone said that all of us will die if we live long enough. And that's true. One day, if Jesus doesn't come, we'll just be a stone out in the field with a name and some dates on it. Even the oldest man in recorded history, Methuselah, who was 969 years old, died. And if Jesus doesn't return soon, or if he doesn't return in our lifespan, we will go through that transition of death. And as children of God, we'll cross over into eternity, into Jesus Christ. It's physical death. But understand this, we have the freedom from the second death. Wasn't it D.L. Moody who said, if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible talks about the second death. There's the first death, the wages of sin. We die because we've sinned, Romans 6:23, but we should understand in Revelation 21:8, the Bible talks about the second death. It begins to name people. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is this second death? The second death is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's it. It's real. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. A lot of preachers don't preach about it anymore. But I want to tell you something. Hell is real. It's a place of eternal punishment. It's a place of eternal torment. And listen to me, you can join this church or any other church, and it's not going to keep you from suffering the second death. You can pray the rosary, you can take the sacraments, you can take the Lord's Supper here. Listen to me, you can do good and try to outdo the bad things that you do. You can do all you can do, but you cannot save yourself. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved. How can we obtain these freedoms? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what? It was just wonderful to lay down all the works and the attempts and the striving and the trying and all that we do trying to be saved, and just simply believe and trust in what he's already done for us. Man, I tell you what, there's people, they want to join the church, they want to take the sacraments, they want to, you know, feed the hungry and house the homeless and do all these humanitarian things. But I want you to know it's not enough to compensate not for one sin that we've committed. John 7:37 says, in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You would think someone in a burning house, if we went and we knocked on the door and said, your house is on fire, the house is burning down, they would come out and they'd be grateful that we saved their life, that we made them aware that fire and danger and destruction was about to fall and take their ever-living life from them. They would be thankful. But you warn people about the fires and the second death of eternal judgment and torments, and they think they have plenty of time to put it off. I want to tell you something. There's three reasons why you need to come to Jesus. Let me say, first of all, you might die today. You ought to come. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. You ought to come. If you don't know for sure heaven's your home, if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, listen, you could die in your sin today. Second reason why you should come to Christ is that God may not speak to you or give you that opportunity again. You know, Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. We're talking here about Noah, but listen to me. There's a principle there that the Spirit of God, we don't get saved when we decide to get saved. We get saved when the Spirit of God deals with us. And he may not always strive again for you to come. And let me say, we should be saved because Jesus could come again. And while you're putting off receiving him, you'd be left behind. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This means anyone who has rejected or refused the gospel. What does Jesus say? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom from the lies of the devil. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the second death. As Americans, we've been born into freedom by being born into this wonderful country known as America. In much of the same manner, we must be born again into Jesus Christ to enjoy the freedoms that come through him. Jesus gave these words to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Have you been born again? We're not saying come and join the church. We're not saying give your money to the church. We're not saying come and get baptized. We're not saying take the sacraments. We're not saying pray this Polly Wanna Cracker prayer. We're saying come to Christ confessing your sin and be set free from the lies of the devil, from the power of sin, and from the penalty of the second death. God's people said, stand with me. Lord, bless this morning. I pray, first of all, for those who may not know for certain heaven's their home. Please, work in their life. Help them to see that your command to them is to simply come. Come. Come unto me. Come to Jesus. Help us not just to come, help us to run to you, that we might have salvation and enjoy the freedom of being in Christ. Then as saved believers and Americans, may we rejoice in the freedom that we have in our country and that we experience by being in Christ. It's not anything that we've earned, anything we deserve, anything that we've done. It's all through the blood of Christ, the grace of God. We thank you for it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you come this morning as God speaks to your heart?